Today we're going to talk about the procedure for an aliyah l'Torah. When a person gets called up for an aliyah, what exactly should you do? Everyone sort of has their own shtick, does something different. So how exactly does one go about getting an aliyah? We know what to say. The question is, what about everything else? So first things first, if you are a bachur, you're not yet married, and your minig is when before you're married, you do not yet wear a talis. So very often, in order to get an aliyah, you have to put on a talis. So the fact that we do put on a talis to get an aliyah, our chashulchan and our chaim simin sadi aleph sif beis writes that although the gemara we discussed when we were talking about wearing hats and jackets for davening says that a beged elyon was only worn in good times but not in times of tsar, that many didn't wear a beged elyon in time of tsar. Nevertheless, our chashulchan says that's only stam if you're davening, but when you're getting the aliyah or you're getting hagba, a person should certainly have a beged elyon, and that's where the minhag comes from to wear a talis. What about at mincha then? When you're at mincha also, you're getting an aliyah, and you should also need the same kavadika garment when you're getting an aliyah. So, in fact, the Shari Ephraim Shar Gimel Sif Yurches says, yeah, even when you're getting an aliyah at mincha on Shabbos afternoon, or whenever it might be, you still have to wear a talis. It seems that the minhag is not necessarily that way, though, and probably the fact that the minhag is not that way relates to the fact that when everybody else in the room is not wearing a talis, then it could be that it's not considered to be a bizayin of the tzibur, or that it's necessary for kavadat tzibur to put on a talis. Whatever the reason for the minhag is, it seems to be that the minhag is not that way, although there's strong reason to assume that there should be a talis worn whenever you get an aliyah. For whatever reason, it seems that the minhag is not that way. What about covering your head when you get an aliyah? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes very strongly in Siman Resh Pei Beis Sif Yud that you need a full head covering, not just the yarmulke when you wear a talis. When you get an aliyah, he says you should put a talis over your head or put a hat on your head. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, that very same breath, in the very same sentence, says, just like by davening, it should be no worse than davening. So whatever you hold by davening, see the 10-minute halachas here we had on covering your head for davening, l'chara, whatever head covering is necessary for davening, you would need that same level head covering for an aliyah l'Torah. But when you take a talis, the most serious issue is, do you make a bracha on the talis when you take a talis? So the halacha is, if you're borrowing a talis from an individual, from a person who owns the talis, it's considered to be l'malbush v'lo l'haknos. It's considered to be that he's not giving it to you, that you can make a kinyan on it. He's just giving it to you to wear temporarily, and that would not be enough to require a bracha. And therefore, when you borrow a talis from a guy, you don't make a bracha. However, when you borrow a talis from a shul, where it's owned by the community, well then the deal seems to be that it belongs to whoever wears it. Whenever you're wearing it, you're the owner of it, because it belongs to everybody, and that's the way the assumption works, according to the Mishnah Brura. And therefore it would seem that you should have to make a bracha. Rav Sturmbach writes in Tshuvas Vanagos, Chelek Aleph, Simin Lamed Gimel, that if the shul you're in happens to be a shtibel, where there's a rebbe whose shul it is, that it's not like a board that runs the shul and hires the rabbi, it's the rabbi who open the shul and it's sort of his place, or it's a yeshiva that it's some guy opened up and it's the Rosh Yeshiva's place, so he thinks that would be considered borrowing from an individual, not borrowing from the tzibur. And he says, even though on the books, you know, it all says it's a tzibur, it's a congregation, Beis Medrash Harav, or, you know, something like that, that's for tax purposes, but really it's his. It's his own thing, and therefore it's his own talis, and therefore you would not need a bracha. The Bir Alecha noticed, though, that the minhag is that when people take a talis, even if it's a talis of shul, they don't make a bracha. So why is that, if the Alecha is that you're supposed to make a bracha? So he has several possibilities. He quotes from the Shar Ephraim that for that reason it's better to borrow from a friend than to borrow from the shul, but Shar Ephraim suggests that if you don't do a full latifa, where you wrap it around your head and everything, then you wouldn't require a bracha. That the bracha is only when you do a full-fledged latifa. However, the Bir Alecha rejects that. He thinks that's not true, that if you wear a talis in a normal way, it also requires a bracha. You don't need an atifa in order to require a bracha. The Bir Alecha also in Simin Yud Dalid quotes from the Ber Hetev in the name of the Lechem Chamudos that if you wear it only for kavadat tzibur, then there's no bracha. You're not wearing it to wear it, you're just wearing it for kavadat tzibur. It shouldn't require a bracha. The Bir Alecha in Simin Samach, Dibra Maskel Yesha Omrim, also says, if you're only wearing it l'kavadat Torah, I'm getting an aliyah, so l'kavadat Torah, I'm going to put on a talis. So he says that would be similar to trying it on for size, to see if it fits. That's not called really wearing it. It's just trying it on for some other purpose, and therefore it would not require a bracha. Bir Alecha Simin Samach also says that perhaps if you don't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, if we all mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, you don't have kavana l'shem mitzvah when you put on the talis, so there's no kiyum mitzvah, there's no kiyum mitzvah, there's no chiyuv of bracha. But he says, if that's your heter, then you're doing the wrong thing. Because normally when you do a mitzvah tzrichas kavana means have kavana. Don't not have kavana so that you won't have the mitzvah, then you won't make the bracha. No, the better thing to do is have kavana and get the mitzvah. So the Bir Halacha is not so happy about that solution. But again, for whichever reason you want to choose, it seems that the minhag of a lot of people is not to make the bracha when they even when they use a shul talis, most likely because it's only l'kavanat tzibur, and therefore it's not considered really borrowing a talis from the shul. If you borrow a talis from the shul when you're married, you come to a shul and you forgot your talis at home and you borrow the talis from the shul to use for the whole davening, that's not l'kavanat tzibur. So then you taka wouldn't make a bracha, right? Then it's really there's for sure no question that you would have to make a bracha in such a situation. Okay, so now you have your talis on. Now you're ready to start your aliyah. So you go up and you have to say the brachos for the aliyah. So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Lamed Tes Siv Vav says you have to say the baruchu and the brachos out loud. And Shulchan Aruch says those who say it quietly are making a big mistake. It has to be out loud. What's the definition of loud? So the Mishnah Berurah says it has to be loud enough that a minion of people can hear it. Because it has to involve a minion to answer baruchu. So it has to be, that's how loud it has to be. What if you do say them quietly? Are you yotzei? Should you say them again? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, Siv Katan Chaf Hei says that if you said baruchu too quietly, for a minion to hear it, you need to repeat baruchu. It was worthless the first time. But, he says, with the brachos, it's suffik brachos lahakel, you wouldn't repeat the brachos if you said them too quietly. But the baruchu, you certainly, the bir halacha has a long discussion on the topic, again, for a longer shiur. Where do you face when you say the brachos? What do you do when you're actually saying the brachos? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes Siv Dalet says that you first have to see the pasuk, then you turn to the side so it doesn't look like you're reading the bracha from the Torah, and you say the brachos as you're turned to the side. And the Rama says the side should be the left side, not the right side. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'yamin, so the Yamino Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your left, so you turn to the left side, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. Whatever it is. What about kissing the spot on the Torah where they show you? So that it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. Shaar Ephraim quotes that there was a minhag to kiss with either a talis or the gartel, and he says that the reason for the minhag is you're showing that it's chaviv alav likros mikol hakasav kan, that it's so precious to you to be able to read anything that's written in this amazing scroll in the Sefer Torah. However, many achronim had a problem with the kissing of the letters because they thought it's going to be a gram mechikas osios, that they thought it might rub out some of the letters if you touch them too much. We try to stay away from touching the letters of the Sefer Torah, and that's where the minhag came from, that a lot of people, instead of touching on the letters and kissing, they touch on the side and they kiss to show the chavivus, but at the same time not risking any sort of mechikas osios. In Orchus Rabbeinu, it says that's what the stipler did. The stipler would never actually put the talus on the letters, you touch on the side. Mishnah Berurah says that the best way to address the concern that people are going to think the brachas are written in the Torah is to really roll the Torah. Right, that would be no one's going to think you're reading the brachos from the Torah if you roll the Torah up. But the problem with that is that it's going to be a tircha de tzibura. If you roll the Torah up and then you have to unroll it and find the place again, so that's a tircha de tzibura. So he says, when it comes to the brachos after the lading, where you have to roll it again anyway, so then you roll the Torah up and you could face straight ahead, it doesn't make a difference because you've addressed the concern. No one's going to think you're reading it from the Torah, you already rolled it up. But when it comes to the brachos before the lading, the bracha before the lading, so you have to keep the Torah open to avoid tircha de tzibura, in order to make sure people don't think you're reading it from the Torah, you turn off to the side so that it looks like you're not reading it directly from the Torah. Mishnah Berurah says some people don't like the idea of turning away because it looks like you're trying to make the bracha on something else. It looks like you're turning away from the Torah. And he suggests that perhaps the best thing to do might be to close your eyes. And that way no one's going to think. The problem is, only the people in front of you will know that your eyes are closed. People behind you won't know that your eyes are closed. So it still might look like you're reading from the Torah. These are all just possibilities. Mishnah Berurah, again, these are a discussion about what's ideal. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Lamed Tes Siv Yud and Yud Aleph says that you should have in mind when you say the bracha, Asher Nasa Lanu Torah's MS, Zu Torah Shabbat. You should dafka have kavana on Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh as a way of emphasizing in your own mind that the Torah Shebichsav cannot be understood on its own. It needs the student's guide, which is the Torah Shebalpeh. Now, what happens when the guy is actually laning? So that was your part with the brachos. What about when laning is actually going on? So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Mem Aleph Siv Beis says that you should say it along silently, and if you don't say it along silently with the Bal Kori, it's a brach levatala. The brachos you made are a brach levatala, because how could you make a bracha on something that you didn't read? So you should say it along in a low voice together with the Bal Kori. The Ber Alach and Siman Kuf Mem Aleph says that, wait a second, how could it be a brach levatala? Our minhag is that we're makel to call blind people for an aliyah. They're not reading anything inside, they're just listening. So how could you say it's a brach levatala? So he's mechalik. He says that when, and we call amaratzim, we don't know how to read a word of Hebrew. So he says, no, when we call blind people in amaratzim, it's because if we didn't call them, then they would never get an aliyah at all, and that would be a terrible bizayon. So we're willing to be makel that shomea kohona or whatever. But we're not willing to be makel on a guy who's capable of reading to rely on a shomea kohona in this situation. If he can make sure that his bracha will go in his own reading, that's certainly much better. Now, what about shomea kohona? Why don't we say shomea kohona? So that's actually a much bigger topic. The Emek Bracha in his piece on Kriyas Torah says that Shomea is not literally Keona, and that when you make the Bracha, you have to, it's a Bracha on a Kriya. The question is, if it's a Bracha on a Kriya, it's really a Bracha on a Kriya B'tzibur. So if you're saying quietly, it shouldn't be good enough. You should have to say it loudly. Okay, that's a different topic. It's a famous Beis Halevi, Tshuvas HaTzvi, maybe for a different time. But that's the basic procedure of getting an Aliyah.